Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I love bringing the three G's to you, talking about how we get gritty in our life, how we offer people the grace that we all know and need and deserve. But lastly, how we celebrate the glitz, those little wins that we have each and every day, whether we're entrepreneurs, we're parents, we're working corporate America, maybe it was a something that you did fit in fitness or wellness today, whatever that may be, celebrating those things each and every day. And today you are in for such a treat. We have Jim White joining me, which I am so ecstatic about because Jim, he's not only an author, but he's a coach and the founder of Family Enrichment Academy. He has been married for 40, yes, F-O-R-T-Y years. So let's say we have a lot of knowledge to share there. He has 6 children, as well as 12 grandchildren, one that was just recently born and absolutely adorable. His background as a family enrichment coach and his life experience really provide a super unique perspective on parenthood. And who doesn't want to be a better parent? Who just doesn't want to show up better for their kids, show up better for their spouses, just show up and make sure that we're doing everything we can to really raise our kids to that next level and be the best parent that we can show up and be. And parenting is no joke. So his book, most recently, that's coming out in March of 2022 on Amazon, is called How to Be the Parent Your Teenager Needs You to Be. Wow. Jim, we are so excited to have you. Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz today.
Well, Erica, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. We are so blessed, this entire community, to just hear from you today, to be able to learn from you. I'm sure you're going to have some phenomenal tidbits, and we will definitely stay on this episode because I'm going to ask him for one of his key takeaway tips that he can give each of us parents today at the end of this recording, and that you're going to be able to take away and just next level your parenting. So Jim, first question I have for you, you have had so much success in your life, you know, being a dad and being a husband and a coach and an author. I mean, you're one of the most brilliant people I know. But there's all different definitions of success. I would love to hear today what success means to you and how do you define when you're successful at something?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask that because as part of my journey over the last 40 years, it's probably been a little over 20 years ago now, I actually put together another book. And in that book, I wrote a definition of a successful family. It was sort of like an ideal or think of it as like a North Star. You know, this would be the ultimate. And it was really centered around, and it's interesting, it's not the material stuff. It's more of, you know, the successful family is one that, you know, they speak respectfully to each other. They empower each other. They enjoy being together. You know, it's those kind of factors. One of the key things is that they have the ability to not only enjoy good times, but to effectively deal with any difficult issues that come their way. You know, it's being able to respond or recover from anything that's a challenge. And then sort of my last line with that was that there's a sense of peace, joy, warmth, and love within their home. So that's really the kind of wraps up in my mind what a successful family looks like. And it's like a definition of success.
Right. And every family is so different, right? Every dynamic and this and that. But at the end of the day, what I really hear that common thread is just it's a safe place, right? Whether you're having the worst day or the best day, whether there's, you know, it's raining or it's snowing or it's sunny out or whatever it looks like in between, because let's face it, life gets messy, right? And I can only imagine, I look at the pictures that, you know, you guys have of your family with, you know, like I said, 6 kids, 12 grandkids. I mean, the picture, like you need the wide lens to get everyone in the, you know, the one photograph. It gets probably chaotic and crazy, but finding that common denominator that people can come together, families can come together, they can elevate each other, they can energize each other instead of like, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of families out there who sadly just aren't in that dynamic. Right. And right. You know, there's a lot of suffering going on.
Right. And actually, I present it as encourage people to think of it like a continuum. And I actually say people think about a day and the minutes in a day. I think there's 1,440 minutes in a day. And so the question is, how many of those minutes does your family or do you spend in that what I'll call a good place, you know, sort of modeling what that successful family would look like? And how many do you not? And everybody is going to have both of those experiences. And part of the goal, and we're, as you said, we're all on this journey. And the goal is to try to have more and more minutes of each day that you experience that towards that target of a successful family. Do you experience more love, peace, and joy in your life? And if you can move from, you know, 30% of your day to 32% of your day, that's moving in the right direction. And that's the goal, is to continue to move that way. But then you'll have a circumstance will pop up, you know, there'll be an event that happens and it could be something big. You know, maybe you have a death in the family, you know, grandpa passes away and that can throw a family for a loop, but it could be something little too. It could be, you know, a child gets a bad grade on a test, let's say. And those things, it's like, you know, that's the thing you have to overcome, and it can affect then that particular moment. And you want to recover and try to see, okay, I got to continue to try to move back and regain what I lost, you know, those minutes back, if you will. So
that's, and you know, I'm going to ask you one more question there, because like as a parent, you know, some days I come in the door and I can feel like just the pricklers are up and for no reason. Right. And the next day I can walk in and not feel that. Right. Cause I think there's just certain things that happen during the day. Any tips or tricks, especially as parents, when you walk in the door and you can feel like the dish in the sink, and usually it's the broken shoelace syndrome, right? It's not really right. The dish in the sink, or it's that the kids left their shoes, muddy shoes out. It's something, it's everything else that happened that day. But any tools or tricks that you have for us that you're like, hey, listen, this is something that's, it's really worked for me when I feel that like elephant on my chest.
So one of my key things with folks when I work with them is to try to encourage them to start to be more intentional about how they are approaching things or circumstances. And actually, one of the tools that I like to encourage people to do is to think about those there's transitions that you go through in the day. You talk about walking in, you're walking in the house after work, or the kids walk in, you know, when they show up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a transition. And one of the ways you can be intentional is if you know that that's a regular transition that happens every day, literally set an alarm on your phone that goes off 5 minutes before the kids walk in. And that alarm is your trigger to say, okay, I'm going to think about how do I want this transition to go? And even I like to encourage people to develop almost like an intention statement, you know, something that they would say to themselves in that little 5 minute period to prepare themselves for that transition. So then you walk into it, it sort of diffuses those pricklies that you're talking about and allows you then to enter that transition and not just go into it neutral. You know, how can you go into it with a goal of empowerment, you know, and making a difference? You know, let's make that first 15 minutes when the kids walk in the door, not just go okay. How can you make that an opportunity to like build connection and really develop and deepen that connection? So
and elevate that energy, right? And it's so true. And someone once said to me, because I was, you know, I was struggling with the fact that like at the end of the day, you know, I would have so much pressure from like my corporate job, and I know I'd have to walk in the door and now put on my mom hat, right?
Right.
And for some reason, every time I would walk in the door, and it still happens, right? Because we still have habits, that little thing triggers me. And they're like, literally, when you first pull in the driveway, pull in the garage, pause and take like 5 minutes in your car and come up with, like you said, come up with a routine that works for you. Whether that's, hey, listen, I'm going to listen to this like rockin' song, or I'm going to read like a little meditation, or I'm just going to like literally just be and sit there for five right. minutes, like whatever's going to bring you down. And like you said, have a plan of action before it actually happens. Cause I'll tell you, when I do walk in the door and I am a, you know what, I end up feeling so guilty. And then I'm like, my kids didn't deserve that. My husband didn't deserve that, you know, but I think we all can be triggered in certain ways. And sometimes we do it to the people that we love and care for the most.
Right. Exactly. But that's where being intentional can be, that can be that one thing that can really help you, but you got to be aware. It's, you know, another piece of that is self-awareness.
Yep.
And you mentioned, you know, you walk in and maybe you do start to head down a, I'll call it a negative path.
Yeah, slippery slope.
Yeah, slippery slope. And so, but you can have awareness there too, which the second piece is, you know, to create a pause in the middle of that outburst, if you will, or that place where you're feeling frustrated or angry or whatever, is to try to create a little bit of a pause there and see if you can shift your mindset. One of my my big taglines is that a change in perspective changes everything. And so if you can, in that moment, create a pause and allow yourself to try to shift your perspective, you know, that can just transform then the way things move forward.
Yeah, so absolutely. That's such a good point, Jim. And so I'm going to take that knowledge. And I'm sure so many of the listeners right now are like, if I could just do that more. But it's like anything, right? You got to make it a habit. And after we do something for 21 days, we start to develop that habit. And as you get to 28 days, and then you get to 30 days, and then you get to 50 days, all of a sudden, it's harder to go back to the way you were than to move forward, especially when you see the results, right?
Right.
You know, it's the journey, like all of a sudden, like the energy in your home's different, or your kids react differently to you. And you're like, this is working. Exactly. Yeah. What Jim said. Yes.
Yeah. And it's so, a matter of, I don't know if you ever heard Tony Robbins talks about stacking wins. If you can stack a few small wins, you start to gain momentum. And so that's part of it. So just pick something and just, you know, get a small win and stack another small one on top of it and continue to build those. And as that momentum starts to build, it'll become part of your new, you know, practice going forward.
And that really does, Jim, tie into what this podcast is all about with that glitz part of it, right? Jim's talking about the small things, right? When I talk about glitz on gracing glitz, the glitz is not the new Louis Vuitton bag. The glitz is not a Porsche. The glitz is not, you know, the new beach house. It can be, but the glitz to me in the relation to grit, grace, and glitz is the small wins each and every day. The small, that 1% change that you're willing to make. It's those small wins that are going to bring you to that next level. And that kind of leads me into my next question, Jim. You know, let's face it. I mean, you have such good strategy. You're an author, you're a coach, but you too probably makes you a better coach and a better author. You've had wall kicking moments on your journey. So when you find yourself in a funk for a day, for a week or anything, you know, maybe it's like, hey, listen, I really wanted to get my course to XYZ, or I really wanted to, you know, get this next chapter of my book done. And you find yourself kind of in that funk. Anything that works well for you that maybe you could share for someone listening right now that could help them?
Sure. So I think, well, the first thing is you got to have some awareness to recognize that you're there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people will go along for a day and it's just a bad day, and they look back and they never were aware that they were, you know, heading down a bad path.
So let me ask you a question. I'm going to pause you there then. So you say, be aware. So that's really easy for us to say to people, right? Harder for people when they're in the moment to recognize. Right. Any tips there?
So I always encourage people to become aware of the emotions that they're experiencing. Mm. If you're experiencing frustration, anger, disappointment, sometimes apathy, you know, those, you know, hopelessness, any of those are a sign that you have a negative mindset working. Mm-hmm. And that's your signal. And so the question is, for you, what is it that's sort of your, people tend to have a habit there too. They always respond from a place of frustration, or maybe they always respond from an anger place. So, you know, sort of just become aware of what is your natural response, so that when you start to feel it, you can recognize and create a pause. Like we said, I must be heading down a bad path, or I'm looking at this from a, in my work, I like to use the distinction between a fearful mindset and a love-based mindset. Mm. And all of those negative emotions come from a fearful mindset.
Yep.
And so the first place is just recognize and create a little bit of a pause. And then a simple one I like to use with people is I have three questions, because the goal is to shift then from that fear-based mindset, try to shift into more of a love-based mindset. Because when you do that, that's that shift in perspective that'll change everything. And so the question is, okay, how do I move from one to the other? And the three questions I like to recommend is the first one is, who or what do I need to forgive? Mm. And that kind of points to what, you know, what do you need to let go of that's that negative perspective that you're holding on to that's creating that negative energy?
And I would say a lot of the times it's yourself.
It could be yourself.
You know what I mean? Like, it could be a lot of things, but I think like a lot of times when I look at myself, I'm like, oh, I just got to forgive myself. It's okay. I didn't get those three things. I'm frustrated at my kids because I didn't get the bathtub clean today. Right. Like, is it real? Like in perspective, right?
Right. It's all about perspective. So the first question is, you know, who or what do I need to forgive? So that helps to let go and dissipate that negative energy. And then to start to shift and create the shift, the second question is, what am I grateful for? And you try to put some gratitude into your perspective, and that helps to move you then into that love-based mindset. And then once you're there, the third question is, how can I make a difference? Mm. And with that question, it's an action-oriented question. It helps you to select your next move, if you will, and where you're going to go from here. And if you can create a pause and spend 30 seconds walking through those three questions, a lot of time that'll get you out of that funk or that negative place and allow you to move forward in a positive way.
Right. And it's just noticing it, what I hear Jim saying is, when you feel those triggers, being willing to say, to put yourself in that mindset. And, you know, maybe some days it allows you have the time to actually write it down and put pen to paper. Maybe sometimes it's just something you do in your mind, but recognizing, hey, listen, and maybe it might not be all three of those things. You may not be able to program your brain that quickly. But I know, you know, for a fact, you know, one of the things I, you know, do every day, and I know Anne does it, and, you know, is writing down gratitude statements, right? You know, just starting your day with that positivity, bringing that into your life, because it's so crazy. Or those abundance statements, you know, who are you going to go and bless today? Who are the people you're looking to attract? And I think that's a big component of it too, Jim. I think the more you surround yourself with positive people, when I look at, you know, you and your wife, and whenever I'm around you guys, it's just positive energy. You can't help but want to raise your vibrations. You can't help but want to raise your level of abundance and thankfulness and gratefulness and all of the above. So really think about that circle, the people that you're hanging out with, and then how, again, going back to your book, you know, with a family, thinking about how you can raise that vibration amongst everyone. And, you know, let's face it, we all probably have a family member who's, you know, grouchy, you know, Eeyore sometimes, you know what I mean? How can we start to, it's not that their vibration or their energy may come to your level, but how can you start raising it more so then it raises everyone else's bar?
I'll throw out something for you guys to think about when you mentioned that. Here's a perspective shift for you. When, especially with parents with kids, consider this: any and all of their bad or unwanted behavior is really just a call for love. It's a call to connect. And if you look at it that way, because that unwanted behavior a lot of time is because they're in a bad place, they're in a fear-based mindset. And, you know, I work a lot with teenagers, you know, they deal with a lot of not belonging, not being good enough, not looking good enough, all that kind of stuff. And that, you know, they internalize that, and that it's a fear-based mindset. And, you know, how that comes out is they pick a fight with a sibling, or they spend all their day on social media. I mean, the way it's expressed is not always connected to that fear, but as a parent, if you see that unwanted behavior as really a call for help, that's what it is.
And I love that. That's a really good, you know what I mean? And sometimes something as simple as just giving someone a hug or just putting their hand on their shoulder. It doesn't have to be like, hey, we got to, you know, sit down and talk about every issue. But just noticing those triggers, even with your kids, as much as we notice them with ourselves. Right. And especially, I don't have teenagers yet, but I know how challenging. I have some friends who have teenagers, and obviously you've been through a lot of teenage years. That dynamic too is hormones are changing and they're growing and they're becoming more independent. Like, that even is another layer of the, you know, that challenge.
Right. And the teenager, they don't understand it. That's the other thing. You got to have some compassion for them, because even if you ask them, they can't express what's going on for them because they can't connect the dots. It's just, right. It's energy. It's a negative energy that's there and it just comes out. And that's where you have to have some compassion and just realize, oh, they just need to reconnect and feel safe. And when they do that, then it allows that negative energy to dissipate. And then their behavior, they switch and then they become more pleasant, if you will.
And is it true, Jim? I know you've done a lot of studies, and if I'm putting you on the spot with this question, but is it true that your brain, even as a teenager, like isn't truly even like totally developed until into your early 20s? Is that a fair fact to share?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why they can't, they're starting to see themselves as separate and independent, and their ability to think logically and abstractly and all that is growing, but it's not done yet. And so that's where it's hard for them to connect the dots. And so one day they may act like an adult, the next day they may act like a child, and they literally are, kind of switching back and forth. Their mind is still evolving at that point.
So interesting. Okay, so let's switch this a little. If you could spend your day shadowing anyone in the world, how they run their day in their life, who would it be and why would you choose them? I'm so curious who you are going to say, and I have a hunch of who you may say, but I'm not sure. So I'm really interested in your answer.
So there's two I would throw out. And one you're probably thinking is this Brendon Burchard. And it's part of because, he's further along his journey as far as developing his business and his courses and coaching practice than I am. So it would just be fun to connect with somebody that's further down that path. So I can, help compress that time, if you will, a little bit. And the second one is along the same lines is Tony Robbins, who, again, he's even further along that journey of being able to have an impact. And he's really built a coaching and, he does a lot of teaching and courses and that sort of activity within his business. So those would be the two guys. It'd be fun to see what they do and how they
do. Oh my goodness. I would love just to be a fly on the wall. So when you get to go spend the day with them, let me become a midget like a little fly on your, that day and find out. Cause I would love to hear what they would have.
The ultimate goal would be able to share a stage with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or let them come on your stage. Right.
Right. Exactly. As a guest.
So you are just developed and redeveloped and redefined yourself in so many ways. And it truly does show, that what can happen on the other side of fear. And I'm not saying, I'm sure just like we've all had fear, like, oh my goodness, I'm going to write this book. You know what I mean? And I'm going to do this. And is it going to work? And is this course going to work? And, I know there's so many listeners. I have so many people. And I really think that, the people that are on this podcast that are listening, are learning so much from you, but they're at the point of their life where they want to next level. They want to go from good to great. They want to go from great to phenomenal. But they have some fear, right? And that's one of the biggest things that holds us back. So let's kind of cap that today with that question of how do you overcome that fear, that limiting belief, anything that you've done during the course of your career that's really helped you, during times of fear and self-doubt?
Yeah. So, which I like to think of it is we have two competing mindsets. All of us have it. One of them is fear-based and one of them is love-based. And the challenge is which one of those is dominant in any particular moment or dominant, for a whole period of your life, if you will. And my experience has been that the more you can come from a love-based mindset or loving principles and values and beliefs, the better things go, whether it's business, family, whatever it is. Love has healing attributes, whereas when you come from that fear-based mindset, it tends to be more destructive. So that's one argument that I would make is why that love-based mindset is so much more powerful. So and we've talked about it. The first step is awareness. When you go into a situation to be more aware of where you are. Are you coming from a fear? Are you in a fear-based mindset or a love-based mindset? So that's step one is you got to create some awareness. And then, as far as strategies, it's all about being intentional about where you are. And if you don't have somebody to work with, like you mentioned, being around other people is one way to become more aware of where you are, but also you see some modeling. You can follow their example, if you will. It'll sort of pull you into that environment.
It's funny, you know, they always say like the five people you surround yourself most with is who you're going to be more and more like, right? So like if, you know, you're, and I hate this expression, but you know, you see this quote, you know, if you're hanging around five losers, you're going to be the six. If you're hanging out with five leaders, you're going to be the six. Like you just have to decide who are those five people you're going to surround yourself with every day.
Well, and that's where, you know, the work in families, obviously that family unit becomes the people that you hang around with.
Yep.
And for your kids, you know, you're creating that environment, you know, home becomes that environment that kids grow up in, and they model a lot, you know, a lot of what they do and say and express is really just modeled after their parents. Mm. And sometimes that's a hard thing to, for a parent to hear, because they say, am I really that way? You know, like one example, we with the teenagers, one of the big issues is drugs and alcohol. And, you know, the question is, what is the parent modeling with regards to alcohol? I mean, if they go to a party on Friday night and they have four or five drinks and then they say, I'm okay to drive home, what do you expect your teenager to do when they're confronted with that same situation? So sometimes we have to be honest about what you're modeling to them as well. But back to the question, I think it's about being intentional about your mindset. And then, you know, what I found is that it's the question, and you ask yourself, how else can I look at this? Or if I look at this from a loving mindset, you know, how does it look different? We talked about gratitude, you know, what am I grateful for here? It's just trying to keep those questions in front of yourself. But again, you got to be intentional about bringing them in. But that's how you move that direction and make that shift. It's being intentional and asking those kinds of questions of yourself.
Yeah. And like you said, just making those conscious decisions, making those choices, but also recognizing, and what Jim is saying is it's not like, hey, listen, you're going to listen to this podcast and overnight you're going to change. You know, we talked a lot about making those small changes and just starting to be conscious of them. If you make the mistake, it's okay, but recognize it, internalize it, think about how you're going to switch that up next time, right? Play that scenario in your head, right? You know, because otherwise, if we keep playing the same music, we're going to play the same music, right? And all of a sudden, sometimes we need to switch it up from country to rock and roll, right? We just got to switch it up and say, okay, this might feel a little uncomfortable. It may not feel right, but it's okay to switch it up. Especially, like you said, if all of a sudden you're not liking the sound of country anymore and you need a different beat, right? It's deciding to make that conscious decision to switch the station. Right. But you need to be the one that does that. At the end of the day, the only person that can change that is the person looking in the mirror.
Right.
And you know, Jim's book is all about that. So if you're a parent, if you have teenagers, if you're looking for like just Jim to like help just next level you with more information, I mean, guys, I have been able to see his like back office and his courses and what he's building, and watch out, Brendan Bouchard, because Jim's coming to get you. But I will tell you, you need to plug in. You need to grab a copy of his book. You need to learn a little bit more about what he's up to. And I just want to thank you so much, Jim, for joining us on Grit, Grace, and Glitz today, for shedding so much light, so much good information, so much about just thinking about us as parents, but also just as people, just how we want to show up in the world. And you and your wife, Ann White, just exemplify that to the nth degree. I mean, you should reach out, find Jim on Instagram or Facebook, and all of this information will be in the show notes. But I will tell you, he is absolutely someone that you want to follow, one of those five people you want to surround yourself with. So, Jim, I've just been so, so grateful to get to know you, so grateful to have you on this podcast. I love having males on the podcast because it gives a whole different perspective, just the way that we go around, you know, about life. Anything else you just want to leave with us? Anything else of how people can find you? Do you want to, I mean, I know we'll put that all in the show notes, but anything else, you know,
yeah.
I know we all want to sponsor and help him and promote his new book too. I love just up-leveling people.
Absolutely. And I'll just say, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's a pleasure to be here. And I guess one thing I would leave, it's just such an important mantra to me, your people with, is this idea that a change in perspective changes everything. And if you can keep that in your mind, if things aren't going well, the first step, it's not about what you do. That's why the title of the book is How to Be the Parent That Your Teenager Needs to Be. Because a lot of times people say, well, what do I do? And it's really, the first question is not what do you do, it's who are you being in that moment. Mm. And, and that's all about shifting that perspective. So that's what I would leave people with, is to start thinking about, okay, how am I looking at this and how can I shift that perspective?
Woo, drop the mic. Greg Grayson Glitz, here we are today. Hopefully all of you got a ton out of this podcast. I know I certainly did. Please drop your comments below. Send this to some other parent that may need to hear this, or just some other person that needs to hear this to next level their life. Love for anyone to put a rating or, you know, another star in there just to help encourage and to help make sure that the gritty people get to hear all about giving ourselves the grace and the glitz that we deserve in our lives. So with that being said, thanks so much for joining us, Jim. We're signing out here from Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all-new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.